Hi, this is Steve Chandler, and today I wanted to talk to you about the subject of how to solve problems. What happens when problems come up? What can we do to solve these problems quickly? Well, I'm going to base what I have to say on all the work I've done over the last few years with one-on-one coaching clients, and I'm also going to base it on the work I've done on myself and the work I've done with my own coach whenever a problem comes up. Step one, when a problem comes up, is to capture your problem. Write it down. Take it away from the emotional realm, from the ephemeral realm of something horrible, a sense of doom, a terrible feeling, and take it out of that realm and capture it and write it down. Put it somewhere where you can see it on paper. That's the first step, because that reduces the problem. It puts it down somewhere where you can see now it's manageable. It's going to go somewhere. Now, I might have it go into my next coaching session, if that's coming up soon enough. I might have it go on to a phone call I make. Whatever I do, whatever my next step is, I want to make sure that I've captured this problem. I've written it down so that I understand exactly what it is, and it no longer haunts me, because once I've captured it and written it down, it no longer stays in the back of my mind. You know that feeling. Whenever a problem is kind of lingering, I know it's there, I saw it come up, and I'm walking around, I'm trying to live, I'm trying to communicate, I'm trying to have relationships, and what occurs is I've got this feeling in the back of my mind. It's a kind of gloomy buzzing, almost like a bass violin playing behind me and playing low notes in a minor key, and I'm feeling like something's wrong, something's not right, something's not complete. There is unfinished business, and that will always stand between me and whatever I'm doing. I won't really do what I'm doing in a full self-expressive way when I have this problem and it isn't being managed, it isn't captured, it hasn't been put down. So step one is capture your problem and write it down. The second step in really effective, efficient, rapid problem solving is to redefine the problem for myself. In other words, I no longer want it to be a problem. I no longer want to call it a problem. And I don't just mean some kind of papering over here with some false new word. I mean really truly convert this thing, whatever it is, from a problem in my mind now into either a project, a challenge, a task, something like that. So what I've got in front of me now is a project or a task or a small job to do. And this project is now a lot more manageable emotionally for me, because when people have projects, they can wake up excited about doing their projects. They know that when they finish their projects, they get a good feeling, a sense of completion, a sense of accomplishment. So I'm actually glad to have projects in front of me that I can work on today, because I derive my professional self-esteem, my sense of accomplishment, my sense of fulfillment from finishing projects, wrapping them up, putting them to bed, knowing they're done, they're taken care of, and I handled it. So I want this problem that used to be a problem in my head to now be a project or a task or something I'm working on. And by redefining it that way, it makes it a lot easier to work with, because no longer do I walk around thinking, oh, I've got this problem. Boy, I've got a real problem. You notice that in our society, we reserve the word problem for the worst, most troubling kind of thing. It's like somebody walks home and they've been listening to the radio and they say, hey, have you heard about Tiger Woods? What? He's got real problems. Oh my gosh, his life is threatened by real problems now. So Problems are words we use when people encounter the most dire, horrible circumstances. So I don't want problems in my mind. I want projects. Notice how in our society we call problems the worst thing. How is the government? He's got problems. How is this? He's got problems. How is your brother? He's got real problems. I don't know if he'll ever survive it. The thing is, I don't want to think that way. The truth about problems is that problems are actually good for us, especially if we don't think of them as problems. But notice, for example, let's say your child is in math class and you go in at the start of the year and it's open house and the parents are meeting the teacher and the teacher says to you, we're going to give your boy more problems this year to solve than last year's class had. We've got it set up so this year's children will be working a lot more math problems and solving twice as many problems before the year is over than last year's math class had. We're able to do this because of the computer system we now have and some new teaching methods. So your child will emerge as being much better, more masterful at math than last year's or any previous class because of this new problems-enhanced program we have. Now, if you're a parent, you're thinking, hey, that's terrific. I love that. That sounds great. Did you hear that, hon? Our kid's going to have more problems solved by the end of the semester. So when someone else has it, like our child has problems to solve in school, in science class, science problems to work out, in math class, math problems, we think it's great because we know from a distance that problems are good for people. Problems actually build skill levels up. Problems turn people into more self-confident people, more masterful human beings, more self-confident people. So redefining the problem is a really important step. Problems are good for us, but we don't really know that because of the emotional baggage we've attached to the word problem. So we want to quickly take that negative emotional charge out of the word and redefine it as a project. That's step two whenever you have a problem. Now, this often, if the problem is small enough, is all you need. Step one, step two, now it's a project, these are my tasks, I'll do it today, it's done, it's over. Sometimes, though, problems are bigger than that, problems are a lot more all-inclusive than that, and we'll want to go to step three. The third step, if the problem is still there, is a step I call get help. In other words, go to someone. Sit down with your accountant. If you have a coach, sit down with your coach. Take the problem that you've written out and put it in front of your coach and have you both look at it. Sit with somebody. Talk to somebody. Get some help with this because it always helps to have another person's eyes look at any kind of problem you've got. And there's a reason for this. The reason coaches are so good at working with people is because they don't have the emotional charge on a client's problem that the client has. So, for example, the client runs into a problem and has emotional charge around the problem. This shouldn't be happening to me. This is dire. This is terrible. This is a bad circumstance. And the client is now disempowered by his or her own emotions. Anytime we're in a low mood, a bad mood, a gloomy mood, a worried mood, we're less creative, we're less energetic, and so by calling something a problem, we've actually reduced our ability to solve it. And by looking at it as a real problem, something that shouldn't be in my life, instead of as an opportunity to increase my skills and strength, I actually reduce my ability to solve the problem by thinking of it as something bad, something that shouldn't be here. Now, the good thing about having a coach, a consultant, anybody who can work with you or sit with you and look at the problem with you, is that that other person is not going to bring any emotional baggage to this problem whatsoever. So that other person is going to have great distance from the problem, is going to be actually higher than a kite looking at this problem, because it's not their problem. It's just an intellectual challenge. It's like the Sunday crossword puzzle or something like that, or a great mystery on TV they're watching and really enjoying trying to solve something. We love, as human beings, trying to solve things. The real trouble comes in when we think these things we're trying to solve shouldn't be in our lives, as they're bad for us. And that's where the real trouble comes in, because then we sink down the ladder to very low levels, and our ability, our creative ability, our clarity of thought, our cognitive power is gone. And we struggle and struggle and struggle. A lot of times I'll work with a coaching client, and I'll notice that that client has got the same problem that that person had when I saw them 3 years ago and just talked to them briefly. Same problem. It's hanging on. It's hanging on. And the reason is because they think of it as a problem, and because it's emotionally daunting to that person to even consider this problem. Now, when you have a coach and you've got someone sitting across from you who doesn't have the emotional connection you do to the problem, they can see so many possibilities and so many options. It's really a beautiful thing. And they start asking you, have you considered this possibility? Have you looked at this? Have you seen it from that angle? How about we try this? And it's really an exciting thing to work with another person on a problem, because pretty soon you see there are a lot more options available to me than I ever thought possible looking at this thing with my friend, my mentor, my coach, my partner, whoever it is. So, step number three, if you've got this problem, you've redefined it as a project, it's still not gone, get help, sit with someone, let someone else look at it with you. Now we get to step four, and this is the most important step in solving a problem. This is the one you always want to make sure you do. And this is the step in problem solving that people really don't do. This creates even new problems, because people don't do this fourth step. And the name of this step is complete your project. Complete your project. So what you really want to do, once you've gotten help, once you've seen possibilities, once you've redefined the problem, you've got your tasks, you've got your actions that need to be taken that you've worked out when you got help, you've written those actions down, your final step is to complete this project. What you want to do with every project is to complete it. And because, here's the thing, if you only do part of it, you only solve part of it, what happens is you still carry around this unfinished business. And believe me, I know what I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about clients I've had that I've helped. I'm talking about my own life as well. One of the last pieces of the puzzle of how to really be productive and prolific and really successful in life, one of the last pieces of the puzzle for me was to see the value in completing things and really notice how much energy it takes to have all kinds of unfinished business in life, how much that drains people. In fact, it takes more energy to carry around unfinished business than it does to complete everything on your list. It takes a lot more energy to carry around the unfinished business than it does to complete everything on your list. A lot more. Try it someday. Try waking up and pretending you're a robot, or pretending you're Superman, or pretending you're someone without feelings, but just going to be someone who can do things without considering whether you feel like doing them, and do everything you can think of that's unfinished. And notice, at the end of that day, how much energy you've got. That's the real paradox. And that is that when you finish something, and complete it and tie a ribbon around it, and now it's done, your sense of energy about life, your clarity, your joy in living goes up. It doesn't go down from having worked on something. It's really exuberant. It really feels great. If you notice at the end of a football game, the team that wins is jumping all over the field. I mean, where do they get the energy? They've just been playing their hearts out all night long. And here they are leaping and jumping into each other's arms and running in circles and running around and around the field. And now they run around and extend their hand to the fans leaning over from the stands. And look at the energy in these people. And then they go into the locker room and they're yelling and whooping and hollering and screaming. And then they go out and they party all night long, dancing and dancing and singing and partying. And now it's 3 a.m, they still don't want to go to bed. That's because a victory on the field feels complete. We completed what we set out to do. There's no unfinished business here. Now, you notice the team on the other side, and they're just wiped out. They need help to get to the locker room. They're completely exhausted. And they go home and they're wiped out. The reason they're wiped out, it feels unfinished. So notice at the end of your day, things that are incomplete will leave you feeling tired even to face the next day. So what you really want to do with your problem that started out as a problem but now you have as a project, don't just half finish it, or don't just finish the important parts and leave a few things hanging out there. Finish the whole thing, tie a ribbon around it, even call someone who's involved with it and say, are we complete? Are we finished? Are we complete? And that, yes, we're, if they say, yes, we're complete, notice how you feel. There's a surge of energy. So hold as a value in your life completion, completing things. And I have a lot of people tell me, I have a problem with procrastination. I put things off, And one of the reasons people have a problem with procrastination is that they don't really see the connection between finishing something and completing it and having new, fresh energy come out of that. They really imagine that working on this and finishing it would take even more of my energy, and I'm tired already. Well, what they don't see, they're tired already because of all these unfinished things. If they were to start completing things on their list, do this, do that, complete, 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 they would get new energy. They would not procrastinate if they valued completion as an energy source. People procrastinate because they've procrastinated the day before. That's why they procrastinate. Because they feel out of energy. They feel like, I'm not up for that. I don't have the heart. I don't have the will to finish that task right now. I need sleep. I need to start fresh tomorrow. I don't have the energy. But what they don't see is that by leaving things unfinished, that exactly in itself is what's causing the low levels of energy. So procrastination causes procrastination. And clients say to me, why do I procrastinate? The answer is because you've procrastinated. That's why. Because the more you procrastinate, the less energy you have. You would think it's the other way around. Most of us believe, and believe me, I believed for years, the more things I leave unfinished, the more energy I'm preserving and conserving for the real important things that may come up. Not true, it's the opposite. It's truly the opposite. The more things I complete and finish and know are complete, and I can cross off and say to myself, I'm totally, fully complete with that, the more whole I feel as a human being as I enter my next project. The more complete I feel personally as a human, when I enter my next project or my next conversation, I now feel more wide awake, more present to it. Because every unfinished task in the back of my mind fogs over what I'm doing now. It gives me a foggy, blurred picture of what I'm doing now because of all the energy it's pulling from the back of my mind. It's pulling energy from my eyes and from the front of my mind as the front of my mind tries to deal with what's present for me right now. All these unfinished things are pulling at me. They're robbing me. They're like vampires. They're like mind parasites. And if I would just complete these things, it would be a fresh new day for me, and everything would look brilliant and exciting, and things would look like opportunities instead of new worried situations, which the procrastinator faces a very worried day. Procrastinators are very, very worried about things. And the reason they're worried, they don't have much of a mind left to deal with things because the mind gets eaten up by these parasites called unfinished tasks. So the final step in solving problems is to make certain you are complete, whole, and complete.